Tonight, we're going to go over a little bit of a review after we read the verses. I know the teenagers and the kids that are normally in the back kind of give them a review, and also I think it's good for us to be reminded of certain things and help us with the things that we've learned so far. Let's go ahead and look here in Joshua chapter number 10. We're going to read verses 5 through 14. I know normally we try to tackle the whole chapter, but there's 42 verses in here. I think we can get the most of it out of 5 through 14, and then we'll also look at some other passages of Scripture as the message goes along. Joshua chapter number 10. Let's go ahead and start in verse number 5. In Joshua 10:5, you're going to see that verses 1 through 4, there's five different kings that get together and they're going to try to fight the Gibeonites. You say, well, who's the Gibeonites? Well, we learned last week in the sermon about the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites were the people that beguiled and tricked Joshua and Israel to making them their servants instead of killing them. And now that these five kings that were close to the Gibeonites, near them, heard about the pact, heard about the treaty, now they want to attack them. And let's see what happens here in this passage of Scripture as we get into the message. It says, therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. So now, last week we saw that they had made this pact, they had made this treaty. Joshua is going to help protect them if he's going to honor the treaty. In verse number 6, the men of Gibeon see what's going on. They become afraid, and it says, sent unto Joshua to the camp and to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. Now, we see this happening, and it's interesting because Joshua has been told to go ahead and destroy all the Canaanites, destroy all this area. So now there's five different kingdoms that are coming together against this one kingdom. So Joshua wants to honor his treaty, but also Joshua is getting the opportunity here to take care of five nations or kingdoms at the same time. So the Bible says they respond in verse number 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. So he responds quickly. Verse number 8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. So we see the response here. We see that the Lord speaking to him. We've noticed before when he talked to Gibeon, he did not speak to the Lord, did not hear from the Lord when it came to the Gibeonites. Remember when it was back in Ai, one of the problems was he did not pray and seek God's face. He is communicating with God here. God tells him to go forth. God gives him promise. God gives him offers of peace there. Verse number 9, it says, Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. So in verse number 9, it is a tactic that he's using. He's going to surprise these five kingdoms. He is also going throughout the night. So he's not waiting. He knows what he's supposed to do, and he's doing it very quickly, and he's hasting here. Verse number 10, the Lord discomforted them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. So we see that Israel's winning the battle here and chase them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down of the Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. So we see in the story here that they were having the battle, they were having the fight in Gibeon, and then as they were going, they realized they were going to lose, so they started running away. And as they're running away, the Bible says that God started throwing stones down from heaven. Most of us would think of this as hail, but you think about it, hail is usually, you know, very, very small. To be something that is so large that is killing warriors and soldiers, it would have been large stones, as it's referring to here. And it says, and at the end, it says, they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. So when you look at it, you know, God provides here. They're faithful. They go to this spot. They protect the Gibeonites. They're winning the battle. The other people are fearful. And God says, well, let me help you with this. And it's amazing that God humbles up and shows them, hey, look, if you're faithful, that I can do great things with you and for you. Let's see here in verse number 12. Then spake Joshua unto the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Now, it's an interesting verse, so if you read it and you take the Bible literally here, it's saying that Joshua spoke to the sun, or talked to, it says, to the Lord, and asking in a request that the sun would stand still because they were winning this battle. They did not want night to come, and as night would come, it would cause the people to be able to flee and get away. And it talks about how the sun actually stands still, how the moon stayed there. Now, some different people have different logics and theories, and it's not the point of the message here. I take the Bible literally. I think it's a miracle that God happened. Did the earth stop, or was it the sun and the moon? You know, none of that really matters in my mind. The important part of the message is that God helped them. God did something supernatural to preserve them, and he honored the word of the leader here. And it says in verse number 13, and the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. So let's say not only just for a little while, but almost a whole day. And in verse 14, and there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. The Lord fought for Israel. And let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and let's get right into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us tonight. Lord, I pray you give me the words that you once said. Lord, I pray that you just give us wisdom and strength and guidance when it comes to all the things that you want us to hear and learn tonight. And Lord, I pray, even though a very busy time of year and a lot of different things going on in our hearts and minds, help us to see that with you, Lord, we can have victory. And Lord, as Joshua and the men of Israel and the people of Israel continue to go through this promised land, as they're faithful and as they're obedient, God, you're willing to help them. Help us to see, Lord, that you desire for us to live that victorious Christian life. And Lord, as we are faithful and we're doing what you called us to do, Lord, that you're willing to help us too. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look up at the screen, it says the theme verse, and I know it's not, it's really more the phrase for the book of Joshua that we've been looking at. It says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye your victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan. The thing I want you to look at is that last phrase, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Here's the point, is that God had made a promise to Israel. If you go into this land, you're going to be able to possess it. If you're obedient and you listen, I am giving this to you. This is a possession. This is something that all you have to do is go in and give and possess it. You say, well, sound like they had a fight there. Well, yes, the book of Joshua is about conquest. It is about conflict. There are times when there is a Christian battle and there is a spiritual battle that is going on in our lives. And it's the comparison here. As we mentioned before, commentators think that God had gave Israel over 300,000 square miles of land, but the most they ever claimed was 30,000 square miles. If you go and you read at the end of this chapter, man, they went in, they took this land and they took this kingdom. They did a good job here for a while. But if you go to the book of Judges, it's talked about how when they divided up the land, they didn't get rid of all the people, and they didn't do what they were supposed to do. And here's the point. As the whole point of the series that we're going through is, it's comparable to us today. As Christians, many of us live in that 10 percentile. God's got promises. God's got victory. He wants to live a victorious Christian life. God wants to do something great in our lives. But many times we're just happy and satisfied with just the 10%. Many times we're just happy and satisfied with just doing what we have to get by. We don't mind being lethargic. We don't mind being apathetic. We don't mind being, you know what, just enough to get by. But see, in the book of Joshua, it's just showing us a picture that, you know what, God wants to do something special in our lives. God wants to, you know, for us to possess what he has intended for us. A life of victory, a life of power through the Holy Spirit of God, a life that produces fruit that remains. It's a spiritual conflict, yes, but there is conquest. Just as much as a possession that God had given the nation of Israel, that land, God has given us victory in our Christian life. In Romans chapter 6, it talks about how we're not servants of sin. In Romans chapter 6, it talks about how we can yield our bodies as members of righteousness instead of members of unrighteousness. We can have victory in this Christian life. And that's what this book of Joshua has been talking about. So let's look at the next thing. I'll show you some of the things we've learned already. And first we looked about Joshua's commission. And in Joshua's commission, we learned how God was taking this young man who was a servant. Of course, he wasn't that young back then, but he was taking him and says, look, you need to be strong. You need to be courageous. And that's the first step to being victorious. We need to see that God has commissioned us to be strong and courageous. Then we looked at how God blessed Rahab's faith. And we talked about how many times people make their past the excuse. And if how God can use a harlot and put her in the line of Christ, how God can use us, and that we can't allow our past to slow us down and hold us back. Israel, yes, they had a past also. 40 years earlier, they were brought to this land, and their parents and grandparents, and they, by faith, they didn't have the faith to go in and conquer the land. But you see here, God is able to use them. Then we talk about crossing your Jordan. We talked about how, you know what, there's something that's always facing us. And what God just wants us to do is just be faithful to walk through our Jordans. And it's just taking that first step. And that picture of that first step when those priests, they took that first step. And as they were being obedient, how God opened the waters. Then we talked about preparing for Canaan. Even though we had the victory at Jordan, you know what? There might be some things we had to deal with. And we talked about the consecration there. We talked about them taking care of the circumcision there. We talked about how they celebrated the Lord and how they had the Passover for the first time in many, many years. And we talked about how if we're going to have a victorious Christian life, it begins with being strong and courageous. It begins with not letting our past slow us down. And we keep on taking those steps of faith as God leads us. But we got to remember that we need to be faithful, and we need to make sure we're consecrated and we're celebrating God. Then we talk about conquering our Jerichos, that sometimes before us are some things that we think we're never going to get over. I don't know if it's stress. I don't know if it's fear. I don't know what it could be in your life, but sometimes some things seem so big and so strong, there's no way we're going to be able to beat it. And we saw how God faithfully through those days walking around, how to conquer your Jordan. Then we talk about disaster AI. We talked about how Joshua did not consult God. He sent those spies out. And how the spies said, oh, we only need a few thousand people. And how they did not think they needed God's help with the little things. And if we're truly going to have spiritual victory in our Christian life, we got to realize even the little things are important. And how if we're going to have true victory and possess the land and possess what God wants us to do, we need to take care of the little things. And then we talk about there's some things that you guess can't hide. And we talked about the sin of Achan and how Achan had to get out of the nation of Israel before that they could be blessed. Then we talked about how Israel got back up. You know, sometimes when we struggle and when we fail, we stay down there. Oh, I messed up. I failed before. God can't use me. And even though you might have been doing well, we take that hit. Are you going to get back up? Are you going to actually get up and do something? So many people wallow around and they stay dirty and they just don't get back up. And last week we looked about being on guard. The enemy can be tricky. We talked about the devil, some of his tricks, but we also showed that in the life of the Gibeonites, how they tricked Joshua. When did it happen? It happened when Joshua was not willing to go before God and ask God. So tonight we get to this message. I know that was just a quick review, but I wanted to show you where we are at in this idea of possessing the land and taking our Christian life to its fullest. So reminders to help in the fight. He said, what are some reminders? You know what? We are in a spiritual battle. I think we need to remind ourselves that this is not a game. The Bible puts it as a war. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, that our Christian life is a spiritual battle, and we need to take it seriously. And in this passage of Scripture, in these verses, I think there's some reminders here that can help us. First thing I want you to think about is we're not fighting alone. Remember, we're not fighting alone. And if you look at this, you know, it's just this idea that I'm not going in this war, in this battle by myself. Like the Gibeonites, they were there. They had already surrendered themselves. They had already said, okay, we're going to be your servants. Now, this is just my mind because I like to think, you know, if these guys were part of a city, and they had, if you look at verses 1 through 4, it talks about how it was a mightier city than Ai, and how they had mighty and strong men. I'm sure that Israel maybe took some of their weapons away, or maybe they did things to weaken them, so that way when their backs were turned and the Gibeonites were supposed to be serving, they couldn't attack them. And they're sitting there, and this kingdom here that might have been able to take one of these other kingdoms, there's five kingdoms coming to them and getting ready to attack, and they says, oh, no, I'm not going to try to fight this battle by myself, because we know we're not going to win. And if we really truly want to have a Christian victorious life, we've got to remember something. We're not going to be able to fight this battle alone. And you think about it, when you go back, what happened to Ai? They tried to fight the battle alone, and they turn and they ran. And when they turn and ran, Joshua got discouraged. The people got discouraged. And when you try to fight this battle alone, you know what's going to happen? You're going to become discouraged. And an amazing thing the Bible says that, you know, he has promised us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conversation, your way of life be without covetousness. You don't have to be covetous. Why don't you have to be covetous? You look at things, you see all these things. This is what I want. This is what I want. It's because, and be content with such things as you have. Why? He says, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, we don't need to look at other things and say, boy, I wish I had that, or I wish I could be that. God's with us. And if God thinks we need it, guess what? God can give it to us. So because of that, we don't have to be covetous. Because of that, we can live a life of faith. And we got to remember, God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. So when we begin to consider fighting this spiritual battle, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's tough, and sometimes it seems overwhelming, sometimes we don't know where to go, the great thing is we don't have to fight alone. And you look in this passage of scripture, look what it says in verse number 8. It says that, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not. So when we're not fighting alone, it's because he can give us peace. We remember Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. He said, Pastor, you use that verse a lot. You talk about it a lot. It's important because many churches today, and many Christians in churches like ours, and not just churches like ours, all across our country, they're worried, and it's a sin of worry, and they're concerned that not about how God's going to work things out, but they're worried how they're going to work things out. And that's why God comes to you and says, look, I'm with you. We're not fighting this battle alone. We have a God that gives us peace. The Bible says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If we're going to live in a spiritual victorious state, we're going to have to remember we're not fighting alone, and that God can give us peace. But God also gives us promises. Look what he says in verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand. I think that's amazing. He said, look, I've already given them to you. All you have to do is go and possess it. And that's the same thing. And many times in our Christian life, when it talks about dealing with sin, you can have victory. All you have to do is possess the promises that God has given you and believe and trust in God. And by faith, reckon ourselves dead and alive unto Christ. And that's what the story of Joshua here. He's saying, look, you're not fighting this battle alone. You have a God that offers you peace. You have a God that offers you promises. You also have a God that offers you power, too. You look what it said in verses 8 through 10. It talks about how it says at the end of verse number 8, there shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. We see the power, and it's amazing. God says, look, when you're fighting this battle, you're not doing it alone. You're fighting in my strength. You're fighting in with my power and with my strength. And it talks about how the Lord is fighting with them, and the Lord is fighting for them. If you look at the end of verse number 14, it says, for the Lord fought for Israel. So it's, he gives us peace, he gives us promises, but you know what? He also gives us power. Think about what it says in Zechariah. It says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That famous verse, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. With God, we can win this battle. With God, we can be victorious. Yes, there is conquest. Yes, there is conflict. Yes, it's not going to be easy. Yes, they had to go to war. They had to fight the battle. Yes, they had to go at nighttime. They had to do things that were uncomfortable. They had to do things that maybe they would question. But you know what? They still did it because God gave them promises and peace and he demonstrated the power. So the first thing is, remember, we're not fighting alone. The second thing goes along a little bit with the last second point, with the last point, is remember we are fighting in God's power. You know, when we look at something and you say, there's no way I can have victory over that, you're saying that God doesn't have the power to help you with that. And that's wrong. God can give you victory in every area of your life if you're a born-again believer. You say, well, I can't have those fruits of the Spirit, the joy, the love, peace, the long-suffering. Some of those things are out of my reach. If the Spirit of God is inside of you and you allow Him to control, you know what? It's not you producing that. It's you allowing the Spirit to produce that in your life. We got to remember the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, or not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, our strongholds, the strongholds. I want you to get this and understand this, that we're not fighting in our own power. We're not fighting in our own strength. Like I said, at the end of verse number 14, for the Lord fought for Israel. God was fighting for them. If you go back to Egypt, you know, the Egyptians, when the parting of the Red Seas, and they saw the wheels off the chariots go, and the Egyptians said, oh no, their Lord is fighting for them. This is what we must remember. We must reckon ourselves dead. We must, by faith, believe what God has given us and what God has told us and say, you know what? I do not have to sin. I do not have to live in that apathetic Christian life. We see that God moves in the hail. God moves in the hail. In verse number 11, I think that's really great. And you see the story at the end of the verse. It says, it talked about how that they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the Lord, the children of Israel, slew with the sword. So it wasn't just the fact that God let them go up there and after traveling all night in the dark, get there and be killing and slaying all the people. Those that got away, God says, nope, I'm not going to let you get away. And he causes this hailstorm to happen and he causes them to die. I tell you, we're not fighting in our own power. If we're living that victorious Christian life and we're living on that plane, we're allowing God to work and we're allowing God to move, we're allowing God to use us and we can see victory after victory after victory, it's in God's power. He can send the hailstorms. Also, God moved into heavens. Verses 12 to 14 is probably one of the greatest miracles in all the Bible. And lots of times critics and skeptics say, oh, that could have never happened. But it says it right there. And how did it begin? It said that in verse number 14, and there was no day like that before it or after that, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. What did it begin with? It began with prayer. It began with Joshua calling out to God and asking God to do something that was supernatural. And I tell you, if we remember we're fighting in God's power, we will not limit what God can do. We will not say, you know what, God can only do this or God can only say this and God can. No, no, no. He's saying, God, I want you to do the supernatural. I want you to do what nobody else can do. And that's what the Bible talks about. If we're going to remember when we're fighting and remember we're in the fight and we get discouraged, we're not alone. And we're not fighting in our own power. It's God's power. And it's the God that can actually stop the sun and stop the moon. You know, did he stop all of heavens? You know, just so that way he could answer Joshua's prayer? That's what the Bible's talking about. Think about some of the prayer promises. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He's saying, look, if you'll just call unto me, I will answer thee. And that should be enough. If the God of heaven is going to answer our prayers and he's going to listen to us, that's fantastic. But then you go and hear what he says. He says, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And it's a power that's in us that we don't have to go in our own strength. We don't have to go in our own might. We can remember this during the fight, is that we're not fighting alone, but God's working in us and through us. The third thing I want you to see, and it's a good reminder, is that we need to remember to be determined in the fight. Determined in the fight. If you look up here what it says, it's, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, it's something that the Bible is saying that he wants, that we should be determined, not determined to do wrong things, not to be determined abounding in the work of flesh or what we desire, but the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor, it's not in vain in the Lord. And so in this story, you see Joshua here is determined. First of all, I'd like you to look at determined to do what is necessary. What do you mean? Well, you think about it. This is the Gibeonites. These are the guys that just tricked Israel. They're probably not up on the list of who I'm going to help and who I'm going to save. But if you look at the end of verse number 9, he says, it went up from Gilgal all night. Now, my studying was done right, that's at least a 30-mile hike. And that is a 30-mile hike, as we learned before about Ai being uphill. It also is uphill in Gibeon. And so it is a long hike all night long. They get there to protect them. You know what? They determined to do what was necessary. Do what was necessary. Look what that verse says in Proverbs 13:4. I remember preaching this on a Sunday morning. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And I know that that's true for physical things. I know that's true when it comes to, you know, those with working and, you know, if you're a sluggard and you're going to keep on wanting and wanting, you're never going to have anything. But, you know, if you're willing to be diligent, then God will be able to bless you. But I'd like to apply that to our spiritual lives. Because many of us in this room might have worked hard in our lives or are currently working hard, and we see God blessing that portion of our life, and we see God providing blessings and doing these things. What about our spiritual lives? I think most of us would say, yes, hey, I desire to see people saved. I desire to see God grow the church. I desire to see God improve my walk with God. And I desire for me to know more about the Bible. And I desire to see my prayer life get strengthened. But the soul of the sluggard will desire, but have nothing. But it's saying here, the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So in our spiritual lives, and we're considering fighting the spiritual battle, we must be determined to do what is necessary when God's called us to do it. And yes, sometimes it means that we're going to have to pray some more. Yes, sometimes it means that we're going to have to try to memorize His Word. I know when I hear that reaction, people like shake your heads. I can't do it. We're not going in our own power and our own strength. We're going in His. And He's just asking us to be faithful and determined to do what He's called us to do. You know, it involves dying daily. Paul said, I die daily. Jesus Himself said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There's a time and a place where we need to do what is necessary. The Bible uses terminologies like occupy till I come. That means stay faithful, protect it until I come. Remember when it talked about those the parables about the servants with the talents. You know, he says, don't go hide it. Do what's necessary. Do the work. And there was work that was necessary. And you see in the story, they travel in the night. They keep on going in the story. The sun stays. Doesn't mean that they got a break. It means that they kept on working. They kept on doing. Was it easy? Was it convenient? No. Next thing, and I think it's a good spot to focus on and stop, is determined to stay focused. Look what it says in verses 15 through 20. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. And these five kings fled and hid themselves in the cave of Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in the cave of Makkedah. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. Now look what it says in verse 19. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel have made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. Say, what are you getting at? Joshua stayed focused. And now, if you think about the Bible times, and there's other stories where it talked about the king, and getting to kill the king was kind of like the prized possession. Remember when Saul let that one king of the, I think it was the Amorites, come back, and Samuel had told him to kill everybody, and they brought the king back. And you know what? If you go through the Bible, you'll see that killing the king was kind of the big thing. But they weren't happy with just getting the kings. They wanted to finish doing God's work. They weren't happy and satisfied with just a little bit of the blessing. They said, you know what? This is good, but I can't let this stop my focus from doing what God has wanted me to do. And sometimes in our Christian lives, we let our focus get pulled away. Sometimes when we see God blessing, we're like, okay, I'm good here. I've done this. God's blessed. God's done. Okay, I'm done. No, we need to keep on going. And that's when I was reading through this and I saw Joshua say, stay ye not, but pursue. You know what? God bless. God did. But Joshua never forgot what God had told him to do completely. He said, God is working. God is moving. Let's keep on staying focused. You know, the devil many times can't get us to do what we consider the big sins. The devil probably can never convince some of you about drinking alcohol or committing an immoral relationship. But you know what the devil can do? He's very good at getting you distracted. He's getting you very good at getting you distracted off of what really is the main thing of winning souls. Learning the word, walking with your walk with God, and we lose our focus on some little thing. We get all upset about the little things. And don't get me wrong, little things are important. We preach standards, we preach all these different, but people get stuck on preferences sometime so much that they stop serving God. And it's important that we stay focused in our walk with God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now listen, no man warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that have chosen to be a soldier. Now you think about it, what the Bible is saying there is, if you're warring, you're not going to get entangled up with the things of this world. You're not going to lose your focus on the things that the world says important, or what the world says you have to have, or what the world says this is what it should be. No. When you're fighting and when you're warring, you know what? You're keeping your focus. In our Christian lives, if we need some reminders in this battle, one of the things is we don't have to fight alone. God offers us peace. God offers us promises. God gives us his power. But also, we got to remember that we're fighting in God's power. And we see how he moved in the hail. We saw how he moved in the heavens. But I think it's important we remember, we got to stay determined in this fight. This is a battle, and we need to do what is necessary. What is necessary sometimes is uncomfortable. What is necessary sometimes means that we're pushing ourselves because we only have a short time. The night's coming where we can't work. But we need to stay focused. I think many times as believers, we lose our focus and we focus on something else and we stop fighting. We consider that Christian race that we're in. There's too many people sitting on the sideline just watching. They've stopped running the race. They think they're not going over to the other side. But if you're in a battle and you're fighting and you stop fighting, you know who you're helping? You're saying, well, I'm not hurting anybody. You're helping the enemy because you're not there participating in the fight. You've lost our focus. We said, oh, I'm going to focus on building my family. You know what? You can do that and also serve the Lord. I'm going to focus on building my career. You know what? You can do that and serve the Lord. You know, sometimes God distracts young people, and they distract young people with sports sometimes. I told you before my testimony. That's something that distracted me. They distract guys with girls sometimes. You know what? They distract girls sometimes with guys. You know, we need to be careful. You need to stay in this battle and stay in this fight. And you got to realize this is a spiritual battle. We need to do what's necessary and stay focused in this fight. And if you continue on in the book of Joshua and the rest of this chapter, it talks about over and over. Now, they kill the five kings. They bring them out and they demonstrate. And Joshua demonstrates that in a special way to give encouragement to the captains to continue on. But then you go to verse number 31 all the way down to verse number 43. It talks about battle after battle after battle that Joshua and the nation of Israel won, and they won, and they won, and they won. You're like, man, they must be great fighters. It was God that gave them those victories. And we got to remember that. It's not our power. It's not our strength. Is there something tonight we need to give to God? Is there something tonight that maybe that keeps on popping up and we say, we can't have victory? Remember this in the fight. You're not fighting alone. You're not even fighting in your own power. But you need to remain determined. Determined that you're going to live for God and fight God's way. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. So we continue to go through this book.